else they can throw off the ship?
All right. Let's talk about Jesus. We love to talk about Jesus. I wouldn't be here otherwise. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nearly 2,000 years ago, the Good Shepherd gave His life for the sheep by dying on the cross and paying for the price of our sins. But He was not going to stay in the grave. He would rise from the dead, give us instructions on what to do until He came again to gather a sheep to be with Him forever. In the meantime, Christ, our great shepherd, is living in the hearts of believers to guide us and to protect us. The 23rd Psalm was written by a shepherd. And every aspect of this psalm relates to how a shepherd cares for a sheep. You might say Psalm 23 is a sheep's eye view of their shepherd. And it is our desire to share this psalm with you so that you can love and trust Jesus Christ as your personal shepherd. Psalm
23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Personal shepherd, we can be sure that He has thought of everything. Everything that we need. Everything that could happen to us. And He is prepared to be our all in all. The sheep can say, I shall be fed and cared for. I shall be guided and protected. I shall not be forgotten. I shall be content with my shepherd. And we, believers, as good sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, can say, Jesus Christ is enough for me. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Our next song reminds us that we should follow Christ as good sheep would follow their shepherd. So why does sheep need to lie down after eating? I know I want to do that, but I'm always told I shouldn't. But sheep should. Well, they have two stomachs. And they bite off some food, they send it down to stomach number one, then stomach number one sends it back up to mouth number one, they chew their cud, and then they can go down to stomach number two. Now to do all of that, they need some peace and quiet. It can't be rambunctious around here. Unlike us, they don't want to eat and run. They got to eat and lie down. So, the sheep can't lie down and rest unless certain conditions are met. And now the shepherd has thought about this. Number one, sheep cannot be afraid of predators, enemies. You know, the lions, the bears, the wolves. And those are not ball teams we're talking about. But predators, if they're worried about getting attacked, they can't lay down and rest and digest their food. So the shepherd has to give them an environment, not only that is safe, but it feels safe. We'll talk about how he does that later. Also, there cannot be friction with other sheep. I know you look at the sheep and they look so sweet and cuddly, bad, bad, bad. But you know what? They can be little rascals. They can be like us. Okay? They can butt heads too. And they can get into scuffles and get into territorial. You know, that's my grass. And they can be scuffling around, so the shepherd has to get them a little bit separated, get the troublemakers away from the ones they love to trouble, and get them all laying down, so no friction with other sheep. Also, there's a thing called flies and other kinds of pests. Flies, gnats, and just terrible things. These poor sheep don't have hands. They just got hoofs. They can't swat a fly without doing some serious damage. And probably won't get the fly either. And they don't have a long tail, so they can't really swat. So they're kind of helpless. So here are these areas. Eyes, ears, nose, and they're vulnerable. And little flies get to walking around and biting and stinging. And some lay eggs in the mucous membrane. And then the larva's doing its thing. And it doesn't sound pretty, does it? They say some sheep get so irritated by this that they've been seen to ram their heads against a tree, just trying to stop the craziness. Some have even jumped off cliffs in madness. But when a good shepherd's watching, he does something for his sheep. We'll talk about that also later. But also, they can't have worries about hunger. They can't be wondering, oh no, when's the next meal coming? I remember a story from World War II. As the Allied forces were going through cities that had been ravaged by war, they found orphans everywhere, and these children were scared. They were in a survival mode. They were huddled together in any little place they could find. They were scavenging for food, and they were living a very ragged life. And very gently, the soldiers brought them in, put them in special camps where they could be cared for, and they were kept warm, they were kept clean, they were clothed, they were given food. And then when they were put to bed, they wouldn't go to sleep. They just couldn't get them to sleep. And they called their counselors together. What do? We've provided all their needs. How else can we get them to sleep? And someone seemed to understand the need. And he said, every child will get a piece of bread. And they'll be told at bedtime, take this piece of bread, do not eat it. Just hold on to it. And as those children held that piece of bread, they fell right to sleep. You see, they've been used to a long period of time where they didn't know when they'd eat again. They were worrying about what's next. That piece of bread said, I will eat again. And the shepherd has his sheep lie down in green pastures because as they fall off to sleep, they say, I can see where breakfast is going to be. They don't have to worry about what's going to go on tomorrow. The shepherd has prepared them to lie down in green pastures. Okay, so Jesus, like a shepherd, can take care of our every problem in our life so that we can have joy and peace in a world that's full of problems. Through Christ, we can be free from worry and fear. And Jesus has not chosen to take away the dangers yet, but he says, I will take away the fear if you'll trust me. Sheep need clean, fresh water where they can safely drink. He doesn't take them to, level 4 rapids. You know, he doesn't have them go up to a wild area where they dip in and they might get washed away. He finds a place where the water's moving, but very gently. It's clean, it's pure, and it's safe. And there isn't a whole lot of noise, you know. Here again, a great place where predators might stalk is at a watering hole. And if there's noisy rapids, they couldn't hear the predators. So it's peaceful, it's quiet. Drink up, kids. I'm watching. So Jesus wants us to be filled with his word. We like to think of the word of God as his water for us. Water that refreshes our minds and our hearts. This psalm also tells us that he restores our soul. And something else sheep can have a problem with. If they get in a situation where they fall over, maybe there was a hollow spot they didn't see, maybe they were tussling, and they get rolled over on their backs, they're about as helpless as a turtle on its back. They're just a skinny little animal in a big ball of wool. And like the old song goes, I fell down, I can't get back up. And the shepherd is always counting his sheep. Not just because they might wander, but he also knows, here's one head, two head, three head, four head, four legs. Wait a minute. Got one of them upside down again. Now the sheep is panicking. Remember the two stomach thing? Digestion is not good upside down for them. And so they're feeling pressure and things that they can't get going to the right place, and their legs are going numb because they've been up in the air, and they're struggling, and they fear for their life. They know they can't get out of this. And some are very noisy, bleeding, and some are quietly saying, oh, I give up. I resign. This is my fate. This is my destiny. And the shepherd comes over gently and says, no, it's not. You silly sheep. You've got upside down again. Well, let's help you. Lays them over on their side, talks to them soothingly, rubs their legs, tries to get the circulation going, and eventually he picks them up and he holds on to them, straddles over top till they feel strength in their legs again. You've heard that old expression, getting your feet under you? I think that's where it came from. And the Lord sees us the same way. We get kind of upside down, don't we? We get into messes we can't fix. And instead of him scolding us, instead of him shoving commandments down our throat and said, "What's the matter with you? Why are you doing this?" He says, "Oh, you got messed up again, huh? Well, I've been watching you. You didn't surprise me. I know just what to do. Just be calm. Come to me. Just let me minister to you." And then when he puts us up on our feet are under us again, then he puts us on paths of righteousness so that we won't keep falling over and over. We need to take a look at some more of this psalm. Verses 4 through 6.
"Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Is die and go to heaven. I can handle that. And so I don't have to really fear. Maybe somebody can injure me superficially, but nobody can destroy me. Because Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior, my Shepherd. Now, thou anointest my head with oil. This is where, if you look at a lot of commentaries in Psalm 23, they kind of go astray here. They start going away from the shepherd sheep example into other things. We know about kings that are anointed with oil, priests that are anointed with oil, and when God is separating something for His purposes and making it for holy use, the oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God. And so we have a lot of references in the Bible to this anointing with oil, but a shepherd is not anointing his sheep with oil for the ministry. What he's doing is he's making up an ointment. It's mixed with some other stuff, which I'm not going to go into all the ingredients. Needless to say, though, it smells funny. It's pungent. It has a strong odor, but it also has a healing quality. Do you remember the flies and the bugs, the bites, the itchies, and our larvae and all that junk? Well, all that irritation, this ointment serves as a balm, as a salve, and it can soothe those areas, bring relief. But not only that, the strong smell works as a repellent, and it keeps other bugs away. So now the sheep can breathe easy. They're not being pestered like this. Well, maybe you can relate to problems in your life being like a lion or a bear or a pack of wolves. But you know what? Most of the time, what really gets us down is not great big problems. It's lots of little ones. Lots of irritations. Lots of things that go wrong. Mechanical things, technological things, physical things, relational things, vocational things, economic things. Just not getting a good night's sleep can make the next day such a trial. And we're being pestered at by so many little things that we can't seem to handle it. And we come to some breaking point, some area where we act out and we feel like beating our head against something, like the sheep does. Before we go running off a cliff, the shepherd's there to anoint us with soothing comfort. Okay? Jesus understands. He will help us with any problem. We are instructed by Peter, 1 Peter 5:7, casting your care upon Him, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, when it turns fall, they've been grazing up there all summer, it's been going good, and maybe they've used up the grass, but one thing we know for sure, even if there's more grass, it's changing weather. Fall in the mountains means cold. And there's going to be frost. There's going to be early snows. It's time to get the sheep down, back through those pathways, back down to the lower pastures and the ranch, where they'll be all settled in for the winter and be all provided for still. Now, as they're walking in the cold, and the cold nights and the chilly mornings and maybe the unexpected snows, sheep get cold and numb and they don't want to move anymore. They're just kind of numb. The shepherd has mixed some wine and water together and he puts out a cup for one of those frozen numb sheep and they drink that and it's kind of like some good old winter medicine. Some tonic, if you will. And it sort of boosts them up. Now don't you guys get carried away with that. But this is about the sheep. And that tonic gives them a little sensation, a little motivation that warms them up, it boosts them, and they can keep moving again. Over and over, Christ wants to warm you and me. He wants to motivate us through the promises of His Word, and He wants to assure us of His love. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Doesn't this world get cold sometimes? Just be unemployed, and this world turns cold really fast. Just be losing a house and having foreclosure proceedings. And this world seems so cold. Just have something go wrong. And everyone looked at you funny and you did something maybe and you lost face and the treatment you get. Or there's competitiveness and people that used to be friends and they start to turn against you because it's like playing king of the mountain in this world. You find out some friends weren't friends after all. These disappointments, these heartaches, these sorrows, these areas, we need to have our cup running over. Jesus wants to warm us and promise us, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, and I always will love you. Paul was persuaded that neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. When the sheep arrive home at the ranch, something has happened. Oh yeah, they've grown wool. Maybe they've even gotten a little fatter. But more importantly, they've had a relationship with that shepherd that has made them bond together. They are closer than ever to him. They trust him more. They love him more than anybody else because they've been through things together. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I want to know Jesus. Isn't that funny? I find it funny. This genius that wrote the book of Romans and knows everything about the schematics of the Lord's working his grace and mercy through Christ to us, and he can explain all this great stuff. Yet he in a moment cries out and says, I want to know him. There's always this sense, Christian, that you want to know him a little more intimately, a little more real. That theology's got to get down into our bloodstream. Our doctrine's got to take on shoe leather and we need to become a part of it, one with it. And so, when Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, Philippians 3:10, that part sounds great, but to get there, he says, I also need to know the fellowship of his suffering. And I need to be made conformable to his death. I need to take up my cross and follow him. Why would he do this to me? Why is he so hard on his sheep? Oh, the world's already hard and sin's already hard. We were dying, you know. We were perishing. He rescued us. And he says, I'm going to escort you safely through this valley of shadows. Now, by the way, the valley of the shadow of death isn't death itself. Those shadows are the scary things we don't understand that we're afraid of. And he says, I'll take you through these things. And when we're all done, we're going to have a relationship. The fellowship of my sufferings, being made conformable to my death, then you'll know. Then you'll know my resurrection power. After all, how do you resurrect something that is dead? So we die to ourselves. We take up our cross and we follow Christ. Is Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior? It's not enough to say the Lord is the shepherd. That may be a doctrinal truth, but that's not good enough for you. It has to be the Lord is my shepherd. Do you trust him? Do you follow him? Do you feed on his word? Have you drunk from his word like water? Have you had some of that soothing tonic? Have you felt the anointment? The ointment. Do you have that kind of relationship? Or are you out in the borders, flirting with the edges where the wolves might be? Are you beating your head against the tree? Are you upside down, four legs up and your head down and not feeling good at all? Do you have a relationship where you can say like the Apostle Paul, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Is the Lord your shepherd? Susie, would you join me, please?
My shepherd I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again and make to walk a faith within the paths of righteousness, e'en for his own name's sake. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear no ill. For thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. A table thou hast furnished me in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow.
time we sing that chorus, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Sorry, honey. I'm rambling. I just wanted to say, there may be somebody here who needs Christ as their Lord and their Savior and their Shepherd, and you just bleat out to Him from your heart. You just bleat out to Him. Tell Him how helpless you are. Tell Him how messed up you are. And He says, I specialize in that. If you're not a sinner, you can't really do well around here. The perfect people don't fit in well in this church. So call out to Jesus. Cry out for Him. Ask God to save you for Jesus' sake. Believe in that shed blood. Believe in that empty tomb. His resurrection, His promises, His power, His attendance as a shepherd, and that He's coming again to gather His sheep so that we will dwell in His house forevermore. We're going to stay at His eternal ranch, folks. And Christians, I hope you'll love Him a little more and you'll stay a little closer to Him. And by the way, if all the sheep stay closer to the shepherd, where will they be with each other? We'll be assembled together more often, working as a team. Surely goodness and mercy. Amen. And while you're waiting, kids club, would you please exit?